Salamat ting, Gahari listeners. The 2014 season picks up steam for the second round in Kuala Lumpur for the Malaysian Grand Prix. The stylish Sepang International Circuit, with its mix of long straights and technical corners, isn't as challenging as the environment, which can range from extremely hot and humid to a monsoon with torrential rain. Drivers may lose up to 5 liters of fluid during the race, but how will the new turbocharged 1.6-liter V6 engines hold up under these conditions? There's a Brit in silver, tying records for his country by starting at P1 for the second time this season, and not the Red Bull with the sensitive fuel sensor, and possible rain in the mix. Who will finish at the top podium in KL, and who will be a hot mess? Stay tuned, listeners. This is Desiree, back in the studio for you. And this is your F1 Weekly Malaysian Grand Prix Racecast. Selamat jalan.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 652, April 3rd, 2014. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by the spirit of Steve Faub and Yahoo Ads.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Montezemolo to meet with Jean Todt in Bahrain about the F1 show. Fans are complaining now. Wait until they get to Europe. And 2014 is turning into Formula Rosberg and Hamilton. And of course, we've got Motorsports Mundial with the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid. Nas, welcome to the airwaves in the virtual world of the internet. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. I must say to all our family members, greetings from Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is my new casa. And moi has moved out of beautiful California to take a job in ABQ. And it is very nice here. And for some reason, very cold and extremely windy. But soon I'll be having lunch with Mr. Bobby Unser.
Well, good for you. I think that's wonderful, but let's just get right to the point. A lot of people still don't like the new 2014 F1 formula, but still, me and you, you and I, love Formula One, and certainly the Malaysian Grand Prix was exciting.
Yes, sir, it was, and we certainly love motor racing, and two races down, 17 to go. I am really looking forward to when the circuit will make it to Europe. And we'll be seeing races in places like Spa and Monza. So it's all good.
I agree. Fernando Alonso came out saying today, the cars are just too slow.
Well, you know, like you said, people will be really complaining when they are racing on the European tracks. And they got to do something about this noise situation. And somebody from Renault said they cannot do anything about the noise unless they make some changes to the rules. Because now we have to deal with what we have.
And that's very true. We're going to have to suck it up and accept what we have for the next few years. There's just no way of going back because of the amount of money that was invested in going into this new trajectory, may I say, for Formula One. So that's what it is. But you know who likes these new rules? And new motors. Not only Jean Todt, but Nico Rosberg likes it.
You know, he must be watching NASCAR races because I've heard him talk on some different interviews, and he's very complimentary to Petronas. They are giving him the best engine oil in the world. My goodness.
Yeah. No. He's pretty cheerful. I think everybody at Mercedes is going to stay cheerful for a while until Red Bull gets things shaken up a little bit.
But oh, yeah.
But it's interesting, Montezemolo wanting to meet with Jean Todt in Bahrain. Do you think that this meeting would be taking place if it was Fernando Alonso winning both Grand Prix?
I see some sort of a conspiracy theory in your question. Well, these people at the mucky mucks of motorsports meet on a regular basis. It's interesting to remember that Ferrari has the right of veto on any rule changes, so I don't know what they can do now. So personally, I won't read too much into it, but I will go back to the statement you made, wait till Red Bull wins a race, and then we'll see how much crying Toto Wolff and Niki Lauda will be doing. And I think it's coming soon, sooner than we thought.
That's very true. Red Bull is definitely caught up. Unfortunately, it looks like Ricciardo has inherited some of the bad luck that Mark Webber had. And I have to admit, Williams, I didn't think it would happen so quickly into the season, but they're already having a little issue with numero uno and numero doso.
Yes, and you know, Rod Smedley has made it to Williams' team also now, and it was very pathetic to hear, Bottas is faster than you.
Well, not only that, but Felipe Massa's therapist told Williams that you can't say anything within those boundaries because he'll flip.
So I have a feeling that when he comes, Felipe Massa comes and races in America, somebody will be calling him, Takuma Sato is faster than you.
No, but I it was amusing. Unfortunately, Williams came out today and apologized to Massa and Bottas. And they said, and of course, this brought out the big question of team orders. They're always going to exist. And we expect something to happen mid-season, especially over at Mercedes, where it looks like the battle is going to be between Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg.
Yeah, they're going to take points from each other. I still think that, in pure pace, LCH will have the upper hand. How much he self-destructs is another story. But right now they got the package, and I think they're going to take points from each other, which will only help one other man, and we all know who that is, who is already knocking on the door.
Exactly. Now, let's talk about Malaysia. As usual, it was very hot, and of course, we got rain on qualifying. That certainly added a little excitement.
Yes, slippery when wet, and when we have those conditions, it's always a exciting mix for the qualifying position, and also if it's raining in the race, during the race.
Absolutely. I enjoyed qualifying. Unfortunately, these races for us are in the middle of the night, literally at midnight, 12:30. So it's a bit brutal.
It was 2 a.m. here.
Yes. Okay. 1 in the morning here, because yes, you have moved to New Mexico, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more at the end of the program. But qualifying was exciting, and for a while, I thought maybe Ferrari might make a big statement in qualifying, because let's face it, in practice, it was all Mercedes-Benz or AMG Mercedes Petronas. And the pundits were right. Everybody predicted the Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg would be winning these races early in the season, and it's exactly what's happening. I'm suggesting this whole thing is plotted out like a soap opera, and they already know who's going to be world champion.
No, I have to agree with you. The pundits were saying long before anybody, just as soon as the Mercedes unveiled their engine, there was a lot of hype that Mercedes engine is the way to go. And they were right on this one, that's for sure. But how long it will last, time will tell.
Absolutely. Now, a little disappointing was we didn't get the Kevin Magnussen factor like we did in Melbourne.
We did, but in a negative way.
In a negative, yes, very negative, especially for Kimi Raikkonen. But that was a little bit disappointing. But we were a little bit spoiled in Melbourne. And I think Magnussen realized that everything went his way. So things had to change for sure. Also, Lotus F1 really looks pathetic. And I really feel sorry for Romain Grosjean. If the team was as good as they were last year, we were talking about Romain being consistently on the podium like at the end of the 2013 season. And this is, I don't even think they will have a podium this season.
I'm afraid they might become the new Caterham.
Exactly. And Caterham, you know what Fernandez says, if something doesn't happen this year, he's gone.
Yeah, and they were up there at the finish, both cars. That was very impressive.
That was very impressive. I was very happy with them. But qualifying was good. The intermediates certainly really didn't come into play. Some people tried them, but it just didn't work. In the end, we had Lewis Hamilton on pole, Sebastian Vettel on the front row, and showing Red Bull that, no, they're not going to pull out of Formula One, and everything is going to be fine. I like it when the team owner of Red Bull, every time something is not going well, well, you know, we don't really have to be in Formula One. But as soon as Sebastian Vettel is going to win some races. There's just no two ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to happen. That's for sure.
Yes. Nico Rosberg was third. Fernando Alonso fourth again. Fernando Alonso really... Let me put it this way, driving the hell out of I don't want to say a piece of junk, but this Ferrari once again doesn't have the pace. It's starting to look like the Ferrari motor in terms of pace is more similar to the Renault in terms of straight line speed, which means once again, I think we're going to see Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari. McLaren, I know Ron Dennis is back. They were supposed to take a big step forward in Malaysia, according to Ron Dennis, and it just didn't happen. McLaren looks strong, but they're going to have a hard time keeping up with the big two.
Yes, and Ferrari, man, what can I say about Nando? I know you love this guy, and who can blame you for that? I mean, the guy's always there, whether he's in a Mile 7 Renault or in driving a prancing mule, or a silver car for one season, the hombre is always, always muy impressive. I mean, I know that what happened with Kimi in this last race was not his fault, but here you have Fernando with a nice third in the championship right now. And this guy is tremendous talent. I don't know if he's overvalued or undervalued, but the guy is a tremendous racing talent, that's for sure.
Yeah. Daniel Ricciardo, pretty good qualifying. He was in fifth behind Fernando Alonso. Then we had Kimi Raikkonen. Nico Hülkenberg seems to be consistent in the top 10. Kevin Magnussen, Jean-Éric Vergne once again in the top 10, and Jenson Button. Sergio Perez, he came out saying yesterday that the racing is boring, a lot of negativity, and I think that's just because Hülkenberg is whipping his butt.
Yeah, see, you know, there was so much talk about Sergio Perez, that tremendous drive he had against Nando at Malaysia a couple of years ago. And then there were some voices concerned that he does well because he qualifies outside the top 10 and he can get the choice of tires. But when you go against some serious talent, I think he did a pretty decent job at McLaren when they had a junk of a car. But now he's in a decent machinery, but he's got Mr. Nico Hülkenberg to deal with. I think, you know, he is not really having the season against Hülkenberg while it's very new, but he's got a tough road ahead. And his hombre, our old amigo, Mr. Senor Esteban Gutierrez, also really not doing what I was expecting in his second season.
Well, at least he qualified 12th right behind Daniel Kvyat, and he out-qualified his teammate, which is what you have to do. And on top of that, Felipe Massa out-qualifying Bottas was a good move for Felipe. I hate to say it, but Lotus being 16th was actually pretty good.
Do you like the nose of the Lotus?
I do.
It's different, huh?
Well, I lean towards that kind of a shape instead of the other shape.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ferrari nose job is pretty sad story.
Yeah, it is a pretty sad story. Now, Mercedes came out with a new nose, a little bit higher, maybe to bring a little bit more air underneath the car. I don't know if that was just specifically for Malaysia and Bahrain, but we'll see when qualifying or practice starts in a couple of days. But still, it was interesting that they're already pretty aggressive with development, and I think we're going to see that from Mercedes. They are pushing hard because I think they are under a lot of pressure from Stuttgart and the big boys.
Don't forget the Bahrain race is Knights in White Satin program.
That's true, and I'm expecting a very similar output result, that is, in Bahrain. I think it's going to be either Hamilton or Rosberg. Don't forget Rosberg. I think he has the edge. He likes Bahrain and does well in Bahrain.
You know, he wrapped up his GP2 championship, I believe, in Bahrain, came from behind. If you recall, he made his debut there and set the fastest lap on his Grand Prix debut.
Correct. Questions. Correct. I remember, and that was pretty exciting. So there you have it. Of course, 17th, we had Pastor Maldonado, your buddy, Adrian Sutil in the Sauber, also known as Too Heavy of a Car Sauber, in 18th, Jules Bianchi in 19th, Kamui Kobayashi in 20th, 21st was Max Chilton, and 22nd was Marcus Ericsson, also known as the F1 Weekly Kid.
Yeah, we followed his career for quite a few years now.
Yes, we have. So good qualifying, and there you have it. Did you get anything exciting out of qualifying? Any points you want to point out?
No, sir. I did not even get my internet connection since I'm new to the area till like late Sunday evening.
Okay.
I had to make a dash across ABQ to get my, you know, my equipment here. And then they were kind enough to get me hooked up. I told them, man, I got to watch Formula 1 and 2 in the AM.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. You'll also have to find maybe some Formula 1 people in Albuquerque, you know, maybe a Formula 1 viewing party or something.
You know, I looked into it. I did not see anything, but I'm sure there are some people here who do follow Formula 1.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, let's move on to the Grand Prix. No rain for the Grand Prix. I was hoping we would have pouring rain, but we did not. And that's the way it was. Any thoughts for you that stood out on the race? Because for me, once Lewis Hamilton started the race, he took the lead, put in the fastest lap. He led from start till the end of the race, pretty much dominating this entire Grand Prix.
I had an inkling that if Hamilton made it past the first corner without any issues, first place, there was no kablamo, then this will be his win. The guy is, you know, like Kimi and Nando, a tremendous racing talent. So it was good to see him go all the way. And obviously, it was disappointing to see what happened in the early stages with Kimi and Kevin. I was also keeping my eyes on this new other rookie, you know, Daniel Kvyat. So there's a lot of excitement in Formula One despite the Hoover 500 effect.
And there's also a lot of, I don't know, I call it schoolhouse shenanigans. Because obviously the FIA were at it again. I thought the Kevin Magnussen Kimi Raikkonen incident was a racing incident, yet Magnussen got a drive-through penalty, blah, blah, blah. And let's not forget, now you get points, penalty points. And of course, our friend Valtteri Bottas is the first to get, I call him, the demerits.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of silliness I really don't like, unless there is a real, like, a complete brain fade move. That's another story. But I mean, this thing was just like the, remember when... I think it was Kimi Raikkonen's car that cut Nando's tire in Japan some years ago.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you cannot say this was done deliberately or it was a brain. These things happen. I mean, this is the pinnacle of motor racing. You know, they got to have some leeway here.
I agree. And I think not only that, but some, you know, let's go back into this Grand Prix. Of course, Ricciardo has a terrible, terrible luck. And then, of course, his pit stop was botched with a wheel that didn't quite go all the way on. It cost him dearly in the race, but then afterwards he gets a grid penalty and a 10-second stop and go penalty for Bahrain. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
It is. And you know, the only good thing is this happened in Malaysia, not in Melbourne. That would have been a real pisser.
Oh my gosh. I mean, there could have been protests in the streets if this happened in Australia.
Yes. They would have let the wild dingoes after Jean Todt.
Exactly. Packs of wild dingoes. I like that. No, but some of this stuff is a little bit hard for me to swallow. And I agree. I'm an old timer, you know, and maybe that's my problem. But I think there's just too much order, too many rules. I mean, giving out demerits, you could have enough demerits where you will be banned a Grand Prix. I mean, all of this is very, very brutal. And I don't think it's good for the sport.
It's like boarding house Grand Prix.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But still, a very brutal race for Daniel Ricciardo. I mean, talk about suffering. I was very impressed with Nico Hülkenberg. Both race, we've had two Grand Prix, and Fernando Alonso is always duking out with Nico Hülkenberg, which tells me, maybe Nico Hülkenberg should have been at Ferrari.
You know, that's what I was thinking when I was watching this thing at 2 in the morning.
I mean, come on, guys. Well, maybe Nico's making his point. Now, Jenson Button had a pretty good Grand Prix, but for me, the best part was when Felipe Massa gave the finger to the Williams team and said, there is no way anybody is faster than me. I am not taking it anymore. This isn't Ferrari. We're not at the Scuderia. And you just can't say things like that to me. And I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah. And just going back to Jenson Button, you know, he made quite a poignant statement that he was glad he didn't make it to the podium, but because he does not feel like celebrating as he is still mourning and missing his papa.
I understand. But on the other hand, if he made it to the podium, he would have dedicated that podium to his papa.
That is very true also.
So I don't know. I guess we all handle not winning in our different ways.
That is true, sir.
So Kevin Magnussen, very disappointing. He finished in the top 10, but ninth, bringing in the points, which was very impressive. And for me, Daniel Kvyat, youngest kid to get points again in his second Grand Prix.
Yeah, you know, like I said, when I saw him at Jerez in January during testing, and our friend Peter Nygaard also made the comment that, I mean, the kid feels so, so comfortable in Formula One paddock, and I'm very impressed by him, and I wish him all the best. He's a good replacement for a comrade Petrov.
Absolutely. No, I think he's doing a fine job. Romain Grosjean was able to finish the race in his car, but unfortunately, Pastor Maldonado could not. He had to box, and they had to shut it off. Too bad for Pastor, but boy, Pastor must be freaking out.
You know, I remember, like you said, being an old guy watching. I remember my first Grand Prix, 1982, Monza. Not many cars finished the race, and you had Kablamos and this problem, that problem. Now you have a guy racing high speed, and team calls him, we have to park, box.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about sensors, saving the engine, because they've got to use the engine two more times. The gearbox has to be used five times. There is no more flat-out racing.
Yeah,
that's done.
I'm just waiting for the days when, you know, the guys are on the parade lap, and somebody will say, box, we need to park, we need to save the gearbox.
The biggest problem is the guys at the top of the big media outlets are going along. They're drinking the Kool-Aid because they don't want to lose that press cred with FOM. That's why they're not going to knock it. They're thinking, oh, this is great. We love it. Don't talk to me about Gilles Villeneuve or the V10s. I don't want to hear it. This is new and it's fresh and I love it. So there you have it.
Yeah, of course. They have to get access to the Red Bull energy station, to Ron Dennis and all these important people. And that's all, you know, media manipulation as far as I'm concerned. I mean, this PC-ness has unfortunately breached into motor racing and Formula One also.
I completely agree. Anyway, Kimi Raikkonen, no points for him. It's interesting. Fernando Alonso, I believe, is third in the Drivers' Championship. And I believe he will outscore Kimi Raikkonen this season 2-1.
Yeah, that will not be a surprise. But, you know, like anything, nothing bothers Kimi Raikkonen, you know.
That's true.
And he moves on.
I know. And it's not going to bother Kimi Raikkonen. But I know who it's going to bother. And that's the Pope, if the Scuderia doesn't win.
Are you talking about Luca Montezemolo?
Correct.
Yeah, he is the Pope of motorsports. And, you know, I just don't think they're going to. I have a feeling that Nando will come through and win some races, even with what he has right now.
And they need it. If Fernando can pull in just one or two Grand Prix wins this season, I think that'll make them happy.
Yeah, yeah. And they're going to say to Kimi, you know, why can't you do this?
Yeah. Kamui Kobayashi, I thought he did an outstanding job, finished 13th. I mean, you can't, both Caterhams, 13th and 14th. That's a pretty good job.
Yes, Kamui is a fighter. I mean, I like that. I like that kid.
Absolutely.
Do you remember his race in when he did one of his first two races with Toyota?
Oh, it was too exciting.
How he was banging wheels with his fellow Japanese racer Rada Kazuki Nakajima.
It was the best.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
No, that was the best. I have to admit, I missed those days, but still, I thought the Malaysian Grand Prix was good. I mean, I like all Formula One races, but it wasn't super exciting. And I think Bahrain is going to be very similar. I can't wait till we get some upgrades on some of these cars and we get to España.
Do you think we might have rain in Bahrain?
No.
Of course.
They don't even ship the rain tires to Bahrain.
Really?
No. Those go automatically off to China.
Yeah, they need them there.
Yes. So it's going to be interesting, but still, I did enjoy the race. I was very happy for Lewis Hamilton. He needed a pick-me-up. And let's not forget, this is the first 1-2 for Mercedes since 1955.
Yes, sir. And you know, what was nice is Hamilton dedicated his victory to victims of Malaysia Airlines flight MH370. On the BBC website, he was quoted as saying, and let me read this to you, "I came into the weekend thinking that dedicating a win to the people of Malaysia would be a really cool thing to do. You can never predict that you're going to win, so the first thing I thought of when I crossed the line was those families." End of quote. I think this was pretty classy of him to say that.
Yeah, and that was the airplane flight dominated the news for the past 3 weeks. So obviously something had to be said, and that was well done. Also, I think Niki Lauda is preparing for an interesting season because Hamilton and Rosberg are going to be going at this head-to-head. And I know you said that they're going to take points away from each other, but this could get pretty heated, and it's going to be interesting how well Mercedes handled it. Don't forget last year when Rosberg says, "You better remember this," when he let Hamilton continue and win.
And that wasn't this was in the Malaysian race, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, where he had to give him not challenge him.
Exactly.
Yeah, and actually, you know, Niki Lauda was very supportive of Felipe Massa not slowing down for Bottas, and he said, you know, "I would have done the same thing." But as far as the winning thing was concerned, he was quoted as saying, "The team is my baby and I'm very happy. It was a fantastic drive by Lewis and Nico, and to get first and second was great. Two races, two wins. We can't do any better." Of course, all of this was said in a very thick German accent, but Niki Lauda knows what winning is all about. And I think he's smart enough to know that this is way too soon to write off Mr. Sebastian.
He would be foolish to rot off Sebastian Vettel. And the other thing is, you know, Niki Lauda's lived it. He's been there. So he knows what's going on. And don't forget also, is I know sometimes we shouldn't, it's only two races into the season. Let's not jump to conclusions. But these seasons go by so fast.
That is true.
I actually prefer jumping to conclusions early in the season. So that way I can tell myself when I look in the mirror how right I was.
Yeah, you still have that deep dish mirror?
Absolutely.
Great.
I know, it's a beauty. But no, very exciting Grand Prix. And any final thoughts? Why don't you tell us who's winning the championship and all that good stuff?
Well, we have all that coming up after the break in Motorsports Mondial.
Aha!
But the Malaysian track, you know, the negative thing there is the weather, very, very hot. But as far as the track is concerned, the people and the system, the infrastructure, it was very, very good. You know, I was at that race last year. So it's a fantastic track and a nice place to visit. So if somebody wants to go there, I would recommend. And as far as the race is concerned, yeah, sure, it was not one of the great exciting races that we all want. Without the rain, what do you expect? And I think we're going to have more of the same in Bahrain in time.
I agree. I think Bahrain is not going to bring out, I mean, they only have a few days to get the cars over there. Nobody's going to have any upgrades. Bahrain is going to be pretty much a carbon copy of what happened. It's going to be Mercedes in the front for sure. You know, Fernando's already come out and said, we have no upgrades for Bahrain. Nothing's going to change. He'll probably be fifth or fourth. So yeah, I'm looking forward to Spain. We'll see what happens. Like you said, China, if we could see the track, you know, sometimes the smog is so bad in China, the visibility is ridiculous. But still, I think Bahrain's going to be interesting because it is in the evening, twilight, and it's going to be actually at a reasonable hour for us here in the colonies.
Yes, that's very true. And I'm looking forward to it. And also, you know, what's happening in Bahrain with Formula One is the start of the Happy Dos season. And you know how much I like that.
I know. Happy Dos, you know, they've been testing. It's exciting. We have Alexander Rossi.
Yeah.
We have a couple of Americans in GP2, which is good.
Yes, and I have a very strong feeling that Alexander Rossi is going to be one of the strong contenders for the championship.
Well, he has to be.
Yeah, last year he became the first American to win a Happy Dos race, so that was very exciting.
I concur. No, Happy Dos is going to be great, and hopefully you'll be able to attend some Happy Dos action sometime this season.
Absolutely, senor.
Anyway, why don't we take a quick break?
Yes, sir.
And we'll be back after this brief message.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services. Transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, give Honest Engines a call. 850-421-8461. And tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair. Right on the corner, right on the price. 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, with the king, the Swami, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and Joplin regards. Today, the winning numbers are 1, 2, 2, 3, and 3, 3. We shall explain gladly. Apart from Formula 1, we shall talk about Sato-san on pole for the season opener in IndyCar racing, the Australian V8, and just like 7-Eleven, in every neighborhood, there is an NASCAR event in someone's hood every weekend. In the goodie bag, we have a preview of the Hapidos season, which is starting in Bahrain this weekend. Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
Are you ready for some factoid from Malassi?
Absolutely, a factoid. Now, that's the good factoid, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank
now,
you
already mentioned that the Mercedes 1-2 was the first since 1955, Italian Grand Prix, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, winner was Fangio and Italian Piero Truffi. He was second. In fact, during the 1955 season, the Monaco Grand Prix and the Indy 500 were the only championship races not won by Mercedes. So the silver streak has seen some very strong winning days in days gone by.
Well, not only that, but I guarantee that the Indy 500 this year won't be won by Mercedes.
Wow. Very, very smart of you. You must be watching a lot of IndyCar, right?
Exactly.
Great, great. Back to Malaysia, number 23 means 23, and that is the number of Grand Prix wins for LCH now, which is very impressive. 3-3 is 33, and that is the number of pole position for the talented Mr. Hamilton. Joined fourth with Jim Clark and Alain Prost on the all-time list, which is very impressive. At 33, you know, he's the highest pole position scoring British driver, of course, along with Jim Clark. So this is very impressive for a guy who's in his late 20s. And he is very quick. Everybody knows that. Over one lap. The little history of the Malaysian Grand Prix. The first race took place on October 17, 1999, and also marked the return of Michael Schumacher after leg injuries he sustained at Silverstone earlier in the season. Not surprisingly, he started the race from pole position and gifted the lead not once but twice to teammate and eventual race winner Eddie Irvine. Now, how pathetic it is that your teammate is going to give you a lead in the same race twice and you are trying to be world champion. What say you?
I think it's well, you know what? That's how it was in those days.
Absolutely.
That was the Scuderia. That was Schumi dominating. And I was sort of happy for Eddie Irvine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Schumacher's name was at the top step of the podium for the next 3 years. Michael in 2000 and 2001. And Ralph was the winner in 2002 in a BMW-powered Williams. So Williams has seen a lot of engines, man, from Renault to Mercedes to Toyota to Jerk to Ford. In 2003, Nando scored his first pole position and Little Kimi his first F1 win here. Fisico won the Malaysian Grand Prix for Renault in 2006. The following year, Nando won for the first time in a silver car. And that was a very, very impressive run to the first turn where he took the lead.
Yep, and exciting.
I remember that start very well. Last year we had the multi 2-1 fiasco, which saw Vettel won the race at Sepang for the third time in 4 years. I wonder if Mark Webber was at this race.
No.
He should have been the Grand Marshal.
No. Mark Webber did, though, send some ice cream over to Ferrari for Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah, that The ice cream incident took place at this track, right? Some years ago.
Correct. Correct. It's celebrated every year.
That's beautiful. Okay, let's talk a little bit about IndyCar racing season opener in St. Petersburg, FLA. Takuma Sato took pole for AJ Forge team, and Will Power was the race winner for Team Penske. Ryan Hunter Ray, who is from Florida and is married to Robbie Gordon's sister, was second, and Castro, Elio Castro, no dash Neves, was third. And Castro Neves also drives for Penske. Sato Sam was seventh. There are 15 races in this year's IndyCar schedule. The race in Long Stay as an IndyCar event, as the city council is not interested in dishing out $30 million of taxpayers' money into CVC and Bernie's billion-dollar accounts in Cayman Islands and Switzerland and who knows where. The Indy Light opener, which is similar to, basically like the American version of Happy Loss, this was won by Zach Veach of Ohio. Gabby Chavez, whose family comes from Colombia, but he's based in the U.S. now, was second, and English rookie Jack Harvey was third in his first race in the USFA. Australian V8 at Simmons Plains in Tasmania. Two of the three races were won by Jamie Wincup. Third and final event of the weekend was won by Craig Lowndes. Now, you know, we have not spoken about Fisico a few times because he's doing sports car racing, but we haven't heard about Jarno.
Remember? I'm surprised we haven't heard by Jarno, because what he's driving is so quiet that all you can hear is Jarno going, bravo, bravo.
Yeah, the truly trained, maybe electrified, the 39-year-old Italian driver recently tested a Formula E machine at a French track and may take part in the series, where Michael Andretti is also entering a team. Now, here is some news that will make you happy. Your man, Fernando Alonso, has been revealed as the most marketable driver in Formula One, after an independent study found him to have the highest level of appeal, influence, and trust in the sport. Did you get a call from this company?
No, but I bought their stock.
Yes, but I have to say this to you. Every time I hear Nando's name and the word trust in the same sentence, I hear a Hungarian Rhapsody by the Ron Dennis Orchestra.
Yes, and a little texting in the background.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, this survey was done by a company called Repucom, a world leader in sports market research, which is used by many of the teams and sponsors in Formula One. And let me just read some of the numbers they have here. It's all about numbers, huh?
Absolutely.
Let's take a look here. Alonso has a global recognition of 71%, heading Hamilton and Massa, who are known by 64%. And 60% of the world population, respectively. Now, check this out. It says Massa has the highest level of awareness in his home country, being known by 99.2% of the Brazilian population, compared to 98% for Alonso in his native Spain and 97% for Sebastian Vettel in Germany. Very interesting, huh?
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I am surprised, despite winning four in a row, Sebastian Vettel is not at the top.
Well, it's because he's German.
He's German. Well, Michael Schumacher, everybody knew him.
I know, but Fernando is always muy macho, más macho.
Yeah. Well, they are saying that Alonso's dominance in the ranking is down in large part to his international deals and association with the Ferrari brand. And despite Red Bull's recent success, which has been going nonstop for 4 years globally, 59% of F1 fans have an interest in the Ferrari team. And very surprisingly, well, it could be surprising, it could be not surprising, in the UK, home of motor racing, Jenson Button beats Lewis Hamilton to the spot of most marketable domestic driver. Does that surprise you?
No. Jenson Button is... You know, he's clean cut, doesn't hang out in Los Angeles. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So top five global celebrity score: Fernando Alonso first, Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa, Sebastian Vettel, and Kimi Raikkonen.
Wow. Maybe that's the next podium.
Yeah, and he was asked to interview to comment on this, and Kimi said no comment.
That's it.
Yeah, and couple of other items. You know, unfortunately, there was some news that, you know, Jimmy Johnson, the gentleman who has won 6 NASCAR championship,
right,
his 27-year-old brother-in-law was killed in a skydiving accident a few days ago in San Diego, so that's pretty sad. And there was an item in the news that apparently Michael Schumacher's wife is building a $17 million medical facility at the house in Switzerland, and so he can be transferred there. And obviously, this is such a situation where I'm not going to comment or assume anything. But as more details come out, I'm sure we will find out more.
No, I really don't have anything to say about that except that, I wish them all well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
okay.
You had asked me about the championship table. So before we wrap up, let me just give the countdown on the championship situation in Formula One.
Okay.
Rosberg 43, Lewis Hamilton 25, Fernando Alonso 24, Jenson Button 23, and Kevin Magnussen completes the top five at 20 points. Sixth is Nico Hülkenberg with 18, seventh Sebastian Vettel with 15, and Bottas 14 points. As far as the GP2 series is concerned, we have a couple of very serious contenders who are veterans, like Alexander Rossi. Then we have Felipe. Rossi will be in his second year. Cousin Felipe Nasr will be in his third year. Stefano Coletti, who came so close to winning the championship, at least, till the last four races, he, I think, will be in his fourth year.
Right.
And I have no idea what winning the championship, if you do, in your fourth year will do. Just ask champion from last year, Mr. Fabio Laimer. But there are some very impressive rookies that may rattle some cages of the experienced drivers. One of them is Stoffel Vandoorne from Belgium. He is like Magnussen in the McLaren Young Driver program. He is a very good talent. And the other is this Ferrari protege, Italian-speaking Swiss, but just like Romain Grosjean, he has now become fully Italian, Raphaël Marcello. He has been impressive in preseason testing. So please keep an eye in Bahrain for the season opener of Abu Dhabi, as we may have some very exciting racing.
Absolutely, and let's talk. TM is starting up. I think Dario Franchitti's cousin is in that series now.
In what series?
DTM.
Oh yes, he was a champion there, so he's back there, and they're testing also. So it's pretty soon we're going to have full blown motor racing worldwide.
Yes, British F3, Euro F3. They changed their names, but I'm not sure what's going on. But no, very exciting season in all sorts of aspects. So I'm looking forward to all of it. We do have 50 words on the Malaysian Grand Prix from the forum. So I'm going to go ahead and dive into that, Nasser.
Please do. I think the listeners love your broadcast voice.
You believe that?
Yeah, because they have told me so.
Okay. Leon Bray says, not the most exciting race, but finally there was some racing at the end when Fred passed Hülkenberg and Felipe was told that Bottas is faster than you, to which he responded with a finger in the vertical. Still sounds like vacuum cleaner racing, and there is an absence of vehicle and timing information. LCH will be hard to beat. Dr. Mark F. Farrington, it would have provided more entertainment had it rained. But there were some good battles up and down the field and very few collisions. Seb showed how fast Red Bull are going to be all too soon, and Daniel felt the curse of Weber. Will he still be a honey badger come Abu Dhabi, or will he be grizzly? K.A. Sin says, wake me up when it's over. What's that? Ricardo playing the role of that other Australian driver? Somebody faster than Massa? No, nothing new here. Somewhat surprisingly, our guest interviewer actually knows something about racing. I have been somewhat surprised, and not in a good way, to see Benedict Cumberbatch up there. Ratham, he writes, yawner after the first three turns. Save fuel, save tires. You know the racing is sad when the camera spends most of the time showing others trying to pass the Marussia and Caterham cars. Yay, says, it looks like by Barcelona, Vettel will vitesse back to normal and be 2 seconds ahead after the first lap. New rules, new regulations, and new power plants cannot outwit Newey. Neon Zapper, the slowness and sound of losing two cylinders coupled with a close eye on fuel consumption is now very obvious. Very minor kablamos and the midfield overtaking were the highlights. Massa let Williams know Bottas couldn't catch him. Alonso did an interesting quick visual inspection of Vettel's ride immediately after the race. Has Red Bull found a secret formula? And Mercedes looks flawless. Off to Bahrain. Okay, Philip Pegler. In Ron speak, Ron Dennis' prediction of McLaren finding a half a second by Malaysia actually meant McLaren will need to find a half a second after Malaysia. Not the most interesting Grand Prix, but then again, I couldn't be bothered to sit through the entire race. Massa was the ultimate victor when he gave his teammate the silent single finger. And finally, but not least, Original JB writes, Felipe, the gift that keeps on giving. It's been a long time since I felt the urge to giggle mid-race. There you have it. Thanks, guys, on the forum. Outstanding. And NASA, final thoughts on Malaysia as we move on to Bahrain.
Well, Clark, you know, motor racing is motor racing. Like you said, we are suckers for Formula One. But, you know, being realistic, that sound is just not cutting it for me, unfortunately.
Well, that's the way it is. It's what we got. Let's see what we can do. I think it's going to change. I think by the time we get to Europe, unfortunately, we don't have a French Grand Prix, because if we did, they could go on strike.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, la grève. So that's an option, but we'll see what happens. I think the Europeans are going to have a revolution, and they will demand more excitement. So, but then we'll see what happens. If Red Bull is starting to win, it could be brutal. Let's hope Ferrari can do something. Any predictions for Bahrain?
I think it's going to be another Mercedes festival, and I'm just hoping that Red Bull can do something. And I would love to see a couple of first-time winners this season. That'll make me very happy.
And that's what we need. I hope it's not Formula, Rosberg, Hamilton, but we'll see what happens. And I certainly predict Mercedes will dominate in Bahrain unless something really bizarre happens.
Yes, sir.
So, Nasser, real quickly, how is everything in Albuquerque? Now, and I have to wonder, when you get to Albuquerque, is it really, do you turn left at Albuquerque?
I think so.
Okay. Okay, so Bugs Bunny was right. I just want to confirm that.
Yeah, but the thing is, you may also make some right turns, so it's not all NASCAR Nation here.
Okay. And I heard the corn tortillas are superb.
Yeah, they put. I'm told they put green chili in everything. I've been very, very busy at work. It's a new job, new company, so very occupied with work. But you know, also looking for a full-time residential situation, which will be all sorted out before the Monaco Grand Prix. And, you know, it gets very windy here sometime, which is interesting. But the place is fantastic. I really like it very much. The whole Southwest United States is my favorite place. I've always enjoyed traveling in this area. And the drive from California was fantastic. Arizona, I love Arizona. So Moa is very happy.
Now, do you love Arizona because of the similarities to Karachi?
You know, honestly, yes, because, you know, when I grew up, we lived outside the city, and it was all parched land, not very green, and very hot. But, you know, in this part of the country, you don't have humidity. So it's nice. It's very, very nice. The only thing that I don't like here is if you want to go to Europe, you have to change plane somewhere. They don't have a nonstop from ABQ to LHR or CDG. You know what I'm talking about?
10-4.
There you go.
And thank you.
It's very nice. I'm very happy, and hopefully you'll come down and we can go to places like Taos. You know, the best part is El Paso Tejas is only a few hours from here, and I'm going to go there soon and get me some grits and big kahuna steak with Avon sauce.
Well, that's good. And of course, this doesn't mean we won't be doing live shows. He'll be flying here. I'll be flying there. And F1 Weekly goes on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're unstoppable.
Yes, we are top priority. And, you know, we are working, as you know, to get a European-based correspondent also. So hopefully we'll have somebody go to some races and do some interviews for us. And once I settle in my own humble casa, we'll start doing some Skype interviews and good things are coming, folks. Please stay tuned.
Okay, Nas, thanks for joining me. I want to wish all the listeners a great weekend. Good night.
Bye-bye.